1 a.m. in the morning and just go for random walks, hoping that someone would just grab me and rape me and beat me up. I had what do they call it, rape fantasy, where I just began to like, I wanted men to like gang rape me, I wanted men to beat on me, spit on me. There was a lot of, and I'm sorry if this is very explicit, it's the truth.
No, well, welcome, because
a lot of people go through it.
This story is absolutely a picture of God's redemptive power. This is Prophet Nia Cerise here, and I'm so excited to introduce the Transform Talk Show, all things transformation, all things God. But specifically, I really believe that the Lord has given me a real mandate in this season to focus heavily on marriage relationships. Some of you may know I recently got married, and I consider myself to be a student. Right. Mm-hmm. I consider myself to be a student in understanding what marriage entails, what a healthy relationship looks like, and what a kingdom relationship looks like, most importantly. So today I have the honor and the privilege of actually being able to speak with you, Pastor Jade, Jade Tendo. She is an incredible woman of God. She is, as I just mentioned, a pastor, but she's also a mentor. She's a leader in her community. She is a speaker, she is a mother, she is a wife, and she is a blessing. I discovered her a few years ago, and honestly, her family have just been a tremendous blessing of just love. They just let me in their house, guys, and they just let me come over and were giving me loads of marriage advice and tips. I never take that lightly. Jade's story is very unique. Jade was a sex worker. And so she was in, you know, other people can call it an escort. Before she knew Jesus, she was doing different types of sex work, which she's going to go into. And she's got a powerful testimony of how she completely changed her life around. So let's just get on into that. How did you begin to get into sex work, and how did that, you know, even pave your understanding of what sex was? Let's dive into that and just see where we go.
Absolutely. So if I give an overall shorter version of my testimony, so when I was 15, I gave my heart to the Lord. I knew I wanted a relationship with him, but the very first prayer that I prayed was a very honest one. And I said, you know, Lord, I want to get to know you, but can I come and serve you when I'm 30? Because I don't want to do it right now. Wow. I want to enjoy my life. I want to lose my virginity like all the other people in my age group are doing. I wanted to, and I hung around with a lot of maybe group of girls who were very like, they had no restrictions. Their parents, you know, let them out and done a lot of things. And so I wanted to do that. I wanted to enjoy myself. I wanted to go out clubbing. I wanted to drink alcohol.
Yeah.
And I was very honest with God, as that was what I knew in the beginning stages of my relationship with him. And so I shared just very explicitly, I want to do these things. And so I did, which was not great. In practicality, I rebelled against what he was calling me to. I felt him drawing me, but I didn't understand what that was. And I didn't really go through discipleship. So I came to the Lord, gave my heart to him, but I didn't really go through discipleship and go through the stages of, okay, why have you given your heart to God? What happens now after this? And so if I speed forward, so 15, gave my heart to God, rebelled. When I was about 17, I had my first boyfriend, first official relationship, was still a virgin, was still very innocent. And then I decided, okay, it's time. I'm ready to be
just
a woman,
like
to give that away. I want to see what that's like. And so I did. And He was a gentleman. I didn't meet anyone and just do it with anyone.
Okay.
He was a gentleman. However, what it did is it built up the appetite. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have much history or understanding of what sex was supposed to be. And so that happened. I decided very quickly I didn't want to be with him anymore. I think there was a bit of discomfort and just, I wouldn't say shame, but just like, what's the word? Like, just not really knowing who this person was, why
did you,
I decided.
Did you like even really know him very well?
No. So this was mm-hmm. somebody I had met at a party. We got to speaking for a few months. And then I decided, yeah, why not? Everybody else, I was like the last one in my group of friends to lose my virginity.
It's like, get rid of it. I want to get rid of it.
And so I was quite excited to just finally do it, and mm-hmm. it was an exciting thing, like mm-hmm. at that age everybody had who had done it around me was like, oh, like the baby of the group and etc. And so I was just like, yay guys, guess what happened, I've done it. Wow. And so I shared with my friends that it had happened, but very quickly, as I said, I decided I didn't want to be with him anymore. So if I fast forward to the end of my 17th year, I then met somebody else who I felt a strong connection with. I felt like I loved him from the first time I met him. And so we got into a relationship again very quickly. It got physical very quickly. And I didn't really know what I was experiencing emotionally. What this relationship done is it opened a lot of doors. Wow. And so since then I've learned a lot of them weren't, so it's not like we say physical doors, spiritual doors were open. They flew open. I got addicted to pornography. I got addicted to masturbation. I got addicted to all kinds of different things.
And did he introduce you to all of those
Absolutely,
things?
Absolutely, yeah. Wow. So I wasn't aware of any of that beforehand. I knew it was out there, but like aware of it as in watched it and knew all the different kinds of porn and all the different kinds of things that went on. I wasn't aware. So when I first kind of went through that door and started watching those things, it was all like an eye opener. And I was very blown away because I just thought, wow, this is so, there's so many different versions. There's so many different things I didn't know. All I knew was missionary, just laying there and just, you know, experiencing that. And so I wanted to become the best at it. I wanted to become the best that I could be. Because again, the group of friends that I was around were very promiscuous and very like, I don't know what to call it, but the it girls where all the boys wanted them. And I already had this about myself, but I didn't have the kind of backing that they had because they had experience and I was still a newbie.
So you're like trying to almost be in this rat race, kind of a competition. Yes. I need to be the best. Yes. I need, okay.
Absolutely. I was so insecure. I was so, so insecure. And this stemmed from, which I didn't know at the time, my relationship with my dad. So my mum and dad were married, and at the age of 13, they got divorced. So I had my dad in my life for a long period of time, and then all of a sudden, he separated from her. And what that done to me is it made me feel abandoned. And so all of a sudden, from that age, I started dealing with abandonment issues. Wow. And so what I didn't really know is subconsciously, I had built up a thought or a way of thinking that I need to be the best at this thing to keep a man.
Wow.
So he doesn't leave me. So he doesn't desert me, abandon me, and make me feel that feeling that I know is so painful that keeps me crying in my bed at nighttime. And so I just decided that's what I'm good at. That's what I'm going to learn to be more good at. And so I did. Throughout that relationship, it became very perverse. It became very intense to the point where I just wanted it all the time. I wanted to do it all the time.
I became addicted to sex.
Yes. I was completely and utterly addicted.
What does sex addiction even look like? Is that, you know, just constantly wanting to watch porn every second of the day and masturbate? Or is that like, I just need sex right now and it's never enough. I just need more. I need more. I need more. How many times?
It's all of those things. Okay. It's all of those things. Sometimes it can start small. Sometimes it can start with, I guess, maybe just a feeling of, I just want to have sex. Like, mm-hmm. I know we've done it earlier, but I want to do it again. Or 5 minutes after, let's go again, let's go again, let's go again. Mm. And really what it is, it's a way of coping. It's a way of being able to satisfy that I'm enough kind of desire. And so I had all of that like full on addiction. And so now my boyfriend wasn't enough. I wanted to feel that desire from other men.
Wow.
And so I knew they already liked me, but I was taken. So I was the, how do they call it again? The, not unapproachable fruit. What is it called?
The forbidden fruit.
Yes. So I was the forbidden fruit because I had a boyfriend, and that cheered me on and made me feel like, yeah, you want me, but you can't have me. And I was very, very, yes, I was very, very, I embraced it. Wow. And again, this was, I may have encountered Christ and decided to, well, not so much encountered, but decided to give my life to him beforehand, but I had yet to really know his love for me. Mm. I had yet to really truly understand why he loved me. And so when I decided to kind of flaunt with the idea of giving myself to other people, I didn't do it because I was loyal, and I didn't want to just be talking to other guys that maybe spoke to me when I was out with my friends or whatever else. I wanted to be loyal to him. I said, okay, I'm gonna still do the flirtation thing, but I'm just gonna tease. I'm not gonna give it away because that still satisfied what was operating on the inside of me. Mm. And so a little while after that, I went through a lot of depression. Mm. I went through a lot of suicidal thoughts and ideations, but also attempts. And I realized I was declining and I didn't understand why. So during this space, I was working full time. I'm a qualified hairdresser. So I was working as a qualified hairdresser in a hair salon. That was a good hair salon. I was very happy about it. But then the boyfriend that I was with lost his job, and he built up debts and different things. His car was being taken away, all of this stuff. And so I was just like, okay, how do I manage this? How do I help him? But at the same time, I wasn't trustworthy of him because I also knew it was a projection. I knew how I was towards other men. I knew that I was a bit more flirtatious with other men. And so even though he wasn't as, he wasn't to be trusted because he was at the time cheating on me, which I didn't know.
What?
Yes.
okay. Wow.
So very similar things we were both experiencing, and I wasn't aware of
it. Almost like you kind of attracted the same demons. Absolutely. It's just kind of like, you know what I mean? Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly that. What happened is, I was on Facebook one day. So this was obviously back in the day. I was on Facebook one day and a girl from a mutual friend contacted me. I was just like, oh, you're so pretty. How are you today? And we connected and was just talking. And then this was in the space of a week. Within a week, she then messaged me and said, are you looking for work by any chance? Because there's this place that I am working out currently that is hiring. And so I kind of was like, yeah, actually, I want to leave the place where I am currently, because, you know, we have bills to pay. We have stuff that we need to sort out. And then she quickly told me the spec of the job, which was supposed to be a role as a receptionist in an escorting company. I was 19 now. So sorry, I fast forwarded to 2 years. So I was 19 now. I had no clue what escorting was, although I was into a lot of sex and a lot of explicit things. I didn't really know what an escort was. I thought it was an American thing where, you know, they go on dates with guys and they're paid a lot of money for it. If she had told me it was prostitution, I would have known what it was, but I would have thought it was more on the corner street sort of thing. So she gave me this glamorized definition of what I would be doing, and told me how much I would be making, and it was a lot of money. Wow. For a 19-year-old at the time. And so I just said, absolutely, yes. When is the start date? When can I come? And I think it was within a day. I had cancelled all the plans that I had, and I went with her. It was at 6 p.m. And the hours that I would have been working were 12 hours, 6 p.m. till 6 a.m. I was very independent, so I was just like, yep, that's fine, I'll order a cab. It was very far from where I lived, but maybe nearly 2 hours journey. So the cab was very expensive, but I knew I was going to get a reimbursement because I was going to be getting this money. Mm-hmm. So I turn up. She told me bring an overnight bag because there's somewhere you can sleep if you get tired, etc. So I go. Upon my arrival, she kind of shuffles me into the manager's office. I meet the manager. I'm like, hi, quite nervous, thinking, okay, this is interesting. She's like, so how are you feeling? Are you ready for, the job? What's your experience? Just talking about general stuff and lifestyle and all of that stuff.
Did you know that she was talking specifically about sex? Yeah. Like, what's your experience?
I had no clue.
Oh my gosh.
Again, I thought this was a receptionist role.
It was like you were just in the darkness. Yeah. Wow.
Absolutely. Okay. I thought it was a receptionist role. And I felt a bit more nervous because a lot of the questions were personal. Mm. And I was alone. So I didn't have anyone with me. I just thought, okay, this is a bit strange. We're going a bit into some things that I'm not comfortable about. So I don't know what to do. But then she then quickly said, in a weird way, she did tell you what the role was for, right? And I was just like, yeah. I was like, she gave me the job spec and I'm happy to do that. I've got admin experience, all of this stuff. I was like, yeah, I'm good on the phones. I've done that stuff before. And then she's like, no, we answer the phones. The receptionist role, we're not hiring for a receptionist. Mm-hmm. She said, your job would be as an escort. And then I was like, okay, what does that mean? Or what does that entail? Mm. And she began to break it down. And so straight away, while I'm listening to her, my head begins to spin because I'm realizing you want me to be a prostitute. You want me to sleep with all these men for money.
Wow.
So that's why I'm going to get paid so much. So that's why you've told me all of these things. So at the time I was younger, so I didn't understand that I actually was coerced into the role.
Wow.
However, I felt like I had been lied to. I didn't feel like I had the honest truth, because straight up, if she had told me, I wouldn't have said yes. Maybe I would have thought about it because I was broken, because I was going through a lot, but I definitely wouldn't have said yes straight up to that.
Did you think it was more like a sugar daddy type of thing where you go on dates with some old men, escort them out?
That excited me at that age. Okay. I was like, oh, I'm gonna meet rich guys and they're gonna pay for my meals and I get to dress up cute.
Yeah, oh my.
And I can just, receive the money at the end. I was money hungry. I was very lustful after money and just the fact that I could pay all of my boyfriend at the time's bills.
Even though you knew he was cheating on you, you still wanted to pay for his bills.
Oh, absolutely. I wanted his love. I wanted to feel loved. I wanted to feel accepted. I wanted to feel what I didn't feel on the inside because of the hurt that I had from my dad from when he left. Mm. I was still longing for that. And I didn't know any of this again. This was all when you're young, you don't have a clue and you're just getting on with things. Mm. I had no clue that I was feeling all those things. So being somebody who didn't know how to say no, I ended up working there that night. I did not know.
The first time you even went there for the interview,
they wanted somebody to work straight away. Yeah. So that was an induction
straight away.
Yeah. That was induction. Here you go. This is where you'll be working. These are the preferences. So you get to say what you will accept, what you won't accept, etc. And it depends on, obviously, if you're more kinky, then you get more clients, etc. But obviously I weren't prepared for any of it. Mm. So I just said, okay, XXX. I wasn't doing any of that. I said, okay. And then I took a moment in the bathroom and I literally just looked at myself, you know, like you have those kind of conversations where you're like, all right, suck it up now, like be a big girl, like don't cry, etc., etc. Like pre-Christ, you like kind of go through those like you can do this sort of moments. So I done that and freshened myself up, and I went back into the bedroom not understanding what I was going to experience. So that night I worked there, obviously the full 12 hours.
12 hours, different men, different same room, different men coming in.
Yeah.
So it's literally like your sex room and people just coming in like a brothel.
Yes, yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. And so I had probably about maybe 5 to 7 clients that first night. And again, because of the sex addiction, it wasn't hard for me because I still craved sex. I still craved the, and obviously now at this point, I absolutely know what kind of spirits I was operating in at that time. But I craved control. I craved the desire to be able to please somebody and to feel like I had done a good job at it. Because inside, I felt like nothing. I literally felt like nothing, empty. I felt absolutely nothing. Wow. And so...
Did you feel anything whilst that was even happening? And did you allow, allow them to touch you? Or was it just, I'm going to control and I'm going to touch you, you can't touch me?
I allowed a level of it. I allowed a level of them touching me. Of course, if I weren't comfortable with certain things, I would move their hand quite quickly. But it just all was a blur in the moment. So I just got on with it and just allowed. I mean... Really, men don't take that long to, you know, naturally. So it was like, okay, it's only going to be like 20 minutes. Okay. Just boom and et cetera.
Next.
Yep. And so that's exactly how I found it. I didn't find any disgust about it. It was just something I was doing and I kept it quiet. It was a secret. Nobody knew. And
did
that's
your boyfriend
how I,
know?
Nobody knew. No one. My mom didn't know. My family didn't know. My boyfriend at the time didn't know. No one would have known. And I wouldn't have told anybody at this point in my life. If I didn't know Christ, it would have been a secret, because who tells this kind of story? It's full of shame.
It's
full of disgust. And so it was an interesting journey. I worked there for 2 months. Although it seems short, it felt like 2 years. It felt like a very long time. And throughout that time, I cannot count how many encounters I had. And that was the part that when I did it manage to leave, that was the part that almost killed me, because I literally felt disgusting. I felt like the bottom of someone's shoe. I felt used up. I felt disgust. I just felt stained. Very simple. I felt stained. And it's very strange, because the kind of person I was very put together. You would have never known that I had been through what I had been through, because I held myself together well. But at nighttime, I was suicidal. At nighttime, I wanted to... just there was multiple different things. I used to leave, because I was practically staying with my boyfriend at the time. I used to leave his house at like 1 a.m. in the morning and just go for random walks, hoping that someone would just grab me and rape me and beat me up. Had, what do they call it? Rape fantasy, where I just began to like, I wanted men to like gang rape me. I wanted men to beat on me, spit on me. There was a lot of, and I'm sorry if this is very explicit, it's the truth.
No, well, welcome.
Because a lot of people go through it. Yeah. I wanted to, all of that. It was just in my mind because of the pornographic images that I had seen, because of the different conversations I had been, and because of the lack of worth that I had. But outside of this, I had an amazing family, which is hilarious. I had an amazing family who were in Christ, who would tell me how much God loved me, who would tell me how amazing I am. They had no clue what I was going through. No clue.
Wow.
Yeah.
My goodness. And I just want to commend you, first of all, for sharing this. Like, you are... You've told me this story before, but it, like, I want to cry because I'm just so blessed that you would even be able to share this, because as you said, people don't, and you know who you are. You know that Jesus has set you free and that he's made you a new creation. And my goodness, like, I respect you so much, Jade. Like, this is incredible hearing this journey and now seeing even the woman that you are today, a full-blown pastor leading a revival of young people, showing them their worth, who they are in Christ, and helping people to live a life in fullness in their relationship with him. Like, when you were leaving and, you know, you were coming out, how was that for you? What was your journey? You are now married, right? How was that for you? I mean, fully transitioning from being in all of this. My heart was breaking, like, even the fact that your partner at the time was cheating on you and you just wanted to pay his bills. And
it's crazy.
Like, there is a lot of deliverance that would have had to take place to even, like, guys, I want you to understand something. I found out about Jade like a few years ago. And the reason I found out about her was because I was on Instagram and I suddenly saw this woman and she had these pictures with her family. And she looked so happy. And her husband, who is absolutely amazing, also a pastor, they were full of joy. And I was looking at this family and I said, I want to learn from them. I was single at the time. No, I was in a relationship at the time with a man who I didn't end up marrying. And I came to you to just learn about relationships. Your house was filled of joy. Everything was like so peaceful. Your husband loves you to bits, right? And this is like a redemption story because you can have been through all of that mess and then God literally does a full switch and says, your past won't define where I'm taking you. Like, what was the transition? Like, even when I came around your house and you told me some of this, I was like, what? Like, I wouldn't have even, but I remember I never judged you. Never. Like, I was always just like, this lady's amazing. You know? Yeah. How was your transition to that, to now, okay, you fully found Christ now, or you fully gave your life to Jesus. Yeah. And I'm just moving forward because I want to dive into like current, your marriage now and navigating that. Like, sanctified, saved, she set on fire for God. But now being married, man of God, what was the, how did you rewire? I don't even know what to say. Like, All of it.
So the transition was very messy, as you can imagine.
Of course.
So after I left, and by the way, that was the grace, complete grace and mercy of God for me to leave, because I now work with women who have been through prostitution, sex trafficking, and all of that stuff. And so I know the exit is very, very difficult. To try and leave somewhere like that is very, very, very difficult. And I literally just one day said, I'm not going, and I blocked the numbers, and I never encountered anybody after that. And so when I left, straight away I kind of felt like I need to get back to church. So there was an encounter that I had the last day I worked there with God in the bathroom. I kind of had a moment where I locked myself in the bathroom and just cried. Like, I just had enough. I just literally released everything and said, God, this is not what you created me for. I know that you created me for a purpose. I don't know you that well. I don't know why you created me, but I want you to show me the purpose. I want you to show me why I'm here, because this can't be it. And so what I felt in that moment was peace to just leave, peace to just, okay, I'm gonna show you. I had no idea how, but I made my transition back into church. I went to the church that I got baptized in, and which was my family church at the time. I connected with my pastor at the time. And she just began to just have conversations. She really embraced me. Like, she had conversations with me that other people weren't having at the time. And so they done something at the church called the Healing Rooms. So every first Saturday of the month, people would come to be prayed for, whether it's physical healing, emotional healing, people would come. And so she told me about it, and I went I think, to one of the first ones that they had, and she just began to talk to me about the different things I'd been through. From the moment I got in there, I literally, which at the time I didn't know, felt the presence of God. It just felt weird. It was like, what? Why is it so peaceful in here? Why is everybody just like, what's going on? Like, this is strange. Like, I didn't know that because I came from darkness. And so when I walked in there, she just began to kind of counsel me and ask me about certain things. And I just literally reeled everything out and told her everything that I had been through and everything that I had been going through. And she began to pray for me. And instantly from then, the deliverance, the healing, all of it just began to start. Mm. Everything began to come up. I didn't even know. She kind of consulted me and told me, you may feel like you need to vomit. You may feel like you need to spit. You may feel a bit dizzy. You may start shaking. You may, all of these things. She just kind of went through it. And so I had no clue. I was scared. I was just like, okay, this is weird. Why would I vomit?
Like, and you, at the time, you didn't realize that this was all spiritual.
Absolutely.
You had literally been...
Yeah.
Literally oppressed,
yeah.
Possessed, like, yeah. Taken over.
Yes.
And had no idea.
No clue.
And so you're yeah. literally, and I mean, there's people watching this today, and I don't know, maybe you're in a similar situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe you literally are even in prostitution right now, and you don't even realize that this is a very spiritual thing. Mm. That you, when you're telling me you wanted people to gang rape you, spit yeah. on you, beat you up, all of these things, that's a mentally oppressive spirit that is literally trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Cause you to die. Yeah. And that yeah. was the enemy's goal, to cause you to die.
Absolutely.
So now you're in a church, okay? One that isn't religious and, you know, doesn't care about, you know, because there's some churches when people yeah. come up and they're messed up, it's like, get away from me.
Absolutely.
But you're in a safe place. You feel the peace of God, and she's like, it's time for some deliverance. Mm. And then I don't know what yeah. happened. Did you start vomiting? Did you yeah. start coughing?
Oh, I don't know. I started laughing at first. So mm-hmm. when she was praying for me and saying, she was speaking to the demon or the spirit that was in me to come out, I started laughing uncontrollably. I didn't know why I was laughing. I was just laughing.
Wow.
Until she said something. I can't remember what it was that she said, but she said something and I just became still and was blank staring at her. And then that's when I just broke and started crying and started heaving. It was very much... It was messy. As I said, I didn't know what was going on. When I left that room, I literally was so tired. I was so exhausted. I felt so empty. However, it wasn't done. There was so much
process.
More. There was so much mm-hmm. more that needed to take place. And so I went there over the maybe 2 months, for about 2 months. So that would have been 2 Saturdays out of the month. So the first session that we had, we went for a second session and I went through more deliverance, more healing. Mm. And then I had like counseling sessions with her for a period of time. And then after that, I went back again. So I had a bit of a break and then went back again for more. But now it wasn't as messy. It was more just
you were getting
emotional.
Better. You yeah. were seeing that the messy stuff kind of been dealt with. Now it was the emotional piecing yeah. together of who is Jade.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. And so now it was more emotional healing. Healing and dealing with childhood traumas, childhood wounds that were still open. And so it was very beneficial, very, very, very beneficial. At this point now, so this didn't happen.
By the way, I think what you're sharing is really key right now. Mm. And I say that because I meet girls, people all the time. Mm. They just think, yeah, I can worship away my trauma. Mm. All I got to do is worship and I'm going to be good. No. But you got to deal with the emotions. Yeah. You got to deal and understand that God wants to deal with those emotions
Absolutely.
Too. He don't want you to just throw it under the rug. Mm-hmm. And so you had to come and give him your heart, not just the mess. Okay, now, you know, your heart for him to put you back together again.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't feel like they can even talk to God about their emotions.
Yeah.
They can share their brokenness with God. You've shared about this extraordinary deliverance process and you coming out. Mm-hmm. I really just want to focus, you know, in our last few minutes on I guess your actual marriage and how it was telling your husband that you actually used to be a prostitute.
So again, I really can't share this without putting an emphasis on the fact that this was all by the grace of God. Amen. In every moment. So I met my husband at the same church I was at the time. He came to perform as he was a rapper. He still is a rapper, but you know, he's but he came to perform. Straight away, from the time I entered the building, I felt a connection with him. I didn't understand the connection, but I just felt a connection. It was an awkward space or stage because I had started to kind of explore dating at that time. Been healed, been like kind of moving forward with Christ and my journey, and now was entertaining in some sense the thought of a relationship with a Christian man. And so I was speaking to somebody at the time, and he was also dating somebody at the time. But little did we know, even though we were meeting as friends and connecting as friends, little did we know that God actually rapidly wanted to kind of disperse that and bring us together. So we were talking as friends. We kind of connected, took each other's Twitter. At that time, we were very young. we connected met up for coffee. Again, strictly as friends, we put very, like, a lot of boundaries around this. We are friends and we're going to do this in the sense of just brother, sister, you know? And from that first time we met up, we both knew, this is different. This is weird. The first conversation he opened in prayer, and I was kind of like, you know, when you pray and just like side-eyeing, like,
who is this? What's going on?
This feels very strange. Wow. This is not what I'm used to in terms of dating.
Amen.
And so the prayer was powerful as well, by the way. I was just like, wow, like what is this? I don't know what this level is. We got to talking, just basic conversation, interest, stuff like that. And then I think it was that evening, we had another conversation, just like, oh, you got home okay? How was the rest of your day? Da, 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 all of that stuff. And then I think I said, I want to tell you something, but I don't really know how to say it, so I'm just going to say it. And I literally blurted out the whole of my testimony. I was on the phone for, like, I think it was like 2-3 hours. I blurted out the whole thing. And as soon as we came off the phone, it was like the assignment was done. I just literally hung up and threw my phone on the bed and burst into tears. Like, God, what did you just have me doing? Like, where was the self-control? Why did I not hold this back? I've just told this guy that I feel there's something strange between us, that there could be romantic, you know, interest there. I've just told him the worst thing about me, the worst thing I've been through. Who does that? Like, who does that? So I was beating myself up. And I guess he must have sensed this, discerned it in some form, because he literally called me back. He gave me some space like 20 minutes after. And he just was like, that's probably the most profound and beautiful thing that I've ever heard. And he just loved on me in a way that I was like, this is weird. Like, what on earth? Like, shouldn't you be running in the other direction? He just embraced me.
Wow.
It was beautiful. And
was that one of your first encounters of God's love as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely one of the top. I think before that, just before I when I went through healing, I experienced God's love just lavished on me. But then after that, that was the first like real human connection that I had, where somebody actually told me, it's okay, you don't need to be ashamed. This is beautiful and God's going to use it. And so I was blown away. I avoided him for about a month because I was just like, what is this? This is weird. But then we began talking a bit more. I had at that time cut off the relationship that I was in because I said, nope, that's not it. It's definitely not it. I know that I've asked for God to give me discernment. I've asked for God to help me understand when I meet my husband. And I don't, what I feel with this guy, my husband, Isaac now, compared to this other guy, is just completely the opposite. And so I closed that door very quickly. And I didn't put any pressure on him. I didn't even tell him any of my thoughts or feelings. I didn't tell him, because at that time, actually, God had told me shortly after that he was going to be my husband. That scared me too much to even tell anybody. So I kind of kept it to myself.
That's always wise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I kept it to myself and just was like, you know, Lord, whenever that happens, if it happens, mm-hmm. I'm just going to allow you to make it happen.
Amen.
Very quickly, I think it took about, we met in May, and then by August, we had kind of just developed a really, really, really tight friendship where we had... Mm. Grown spiritually, we had grown really like close, like best friends, like we grew a real good friendship, and it was still just on that. I kept saying we're just friends, and I wasn't in denial. I was saying, this is the boundary I'm putting here, and he's going to remain my friend until God says anything different. So we went on a 21-day fast just to kind of really get the feels of what God wanted to do in the relationship that we were forming. And at the end of the 21 days, we knew, okay, there's a grace to enter this relationship. We wanted to do everything in a way that would honor the Lord. We didn't want to move too fast or move too slowly. When we decided to be in a relationship, things moved very quickly in terms of the different things the Lord was revealing. And within the space of 2 months, he decided to propose to me, which was amazing and literally a dream come true. I didn't understand why it was happening, because I still had a few thoughts from the past of how could I move so far ahead. And then shortly after that, it took about, I think we had a 9-month turnover, and then we were married.
This story is absolutely a picture of God's redemptive power. Like that's the only way I can describe it. Like I don't even think I've ever even heard a testimony like this in my entire life. Mm. Like I'm just seeing from darkness to light. Like literally, like from prison to literally God's arms, right? And I'm just in awe of what the Holy Spirit is literally doing in you, through you. I'm seeing even now, you know, God's opening even doors for you to speak more. And there is just a level of like catapulting that is happening, you know? And I guess for me, I really want you to actually even just look into the camera and just speak to the woman before we end this episode and like we go into episode 2. I really do want you to speak into the camera and speak life into an individual who has heard this story today. And this isn't just a made up story. This is a testimony. Could you just pray and could you just release a word of encouragement to the viewer who is listening today, who feels like they are too far away from God to even see him change their story?
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. The first thing I would say is you're never too far, never too far for God's love to reach you. You're never too far from his embrace. Whether you understand who he is, whether you understand a little bit about his love, it doesn't really matter what you understand at all. He's there, and his mercy is available to you. I'm just gonna pray quickly.
Amen.
Father, I just thank you for the one who is listening today. I thank you, Father God, that you've even drawn them to this episode to just hear my story of your redemption, of your redeeming love, of your mercy. Father, I thank you right now just for every single situation that they've been through. Lord, I thank you for every teardrop. Lord, I've learned to just embrace the fact that you collect my tears. Every tear that leaves my eye, you collect it in your jar, Father. So even right now, I just ask that you will just show your love to that person. Show your love to that precious daughter, to that precious one, Father God, who is maybe longing for your love or longing to be loved. Lord, I pray right now that their love and that your love and your mercy will just fall upon them right now. Lord, I pray, Father God, that they'll know that your love conquers any feeling of unforgiveness towards themselves or towards any other, hurt, to any person who's hurt them in the past. Lord, I just pray, Father God, that they'll understand that your love undoes all of that. So, Father, I just pray right now for your peace and for your healing journey to start right now in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Jade, we are so grateful for you. This is only episode one, guys. You need to stay tuned for episode two, where I am going to literally fire some questions up at Jade and I'm going to receive and draw some wisdom. So bless you. Thank you so much for being with us. Problem. Thank you for joining the Transform Talk Show. And I will see you next time over at this is Jade Tendo and Nia Cerise Bayon. See you soon. Bye-bye.